Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. The Bible says this, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joyful story, what a soul-stirring story, what an encouraging story for the church to listen to this morning. We thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that we can have confidence. Lord, this is the inspired very words of God. Lord, you have personally promised to keep your hand upon it and to allow us to have it preserved unto all generations. And so it's with great confidence that we read it, that we preach it, that we can glean truth from it this morning. I pray, Lord, for a stirring in the hearts of born-again Christians this morning. And Lord, also for conviction to come upon those that may not be saved. Lord, we would like the Holy Spirit of God to have free reign, do all that he wants to do in this place and this time, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. If you told me, Brother Jerry, I'd like you to jot down 5 or 10 of the truths in the Bible that are the truths that motivate you the most in this matter of getting up every day and trying your best to live the Christian life to its fullest. If I was forced to sit down and write out a top 10 list of the things that most motivate me to keep soul winning, to keep preaching, to get up every day with a little bit of an excitement in my step when it comes to the walk of God, to the work of God, I guess that probably somewhere on that list would be the truth that I'm going to teach to you this morning and preach to you this morning. I'm calling this morning's message, Are You Keeping Your Divine Appointments? Are you keeping your divine appointments? Now, Brother Jerry, what do you mean by that? Well, in this story that we read is a perfect example of what I believe is a divine appointment that was orchestrated completely and fully by Almighty God. Now, that's exciting if you're a Christian. You see, these divine appointments you have no foreknowledge of. You can't check your appointment book and say, okay, I see that that's written down, that I need to be at that place at this time. Matter of fact, Philip, let's just take a look at this story, and we'll define what a divine appointment is, and then I hope encourage you in the matter of keeping your divine appointments. Philip was a man that I think is one of our, should be our New Testament church saints heroes. This man lived a faithful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip is first mentioned in Acts chapter 6, but I believe that probably in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, Philip was part of that 120 men that were in the upper room. This is not the same Philip that was a disciple of Jesus Christ and later became an apostle. This is a man that I believe was either one of the 120 original disciples that met in the upper room, or he may have been, we don't know this, a convert that was saved as a result of that 10-day prayer meeting in the upper room there in on the day of Pentecost. We don't know that for sure, but I do know this, that Philip at some point early on became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I think that he has been faithful and was faithful, clear from the original group. I believe that for this reason, when we read in Acts chapter number 6, and if you want to just, since we're real close to there, if you want to slip back to Acts chapter 6, we find that when it came time to pick out some men to serve in the capacity of a deacon in the early church, this man was chosen, and I do not believe they probably would have chosen a novice. So I think that this is a man that for some time had been a faithful servant, a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, and a man faithful in the church. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "In those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report." By the way, this next phrase is important, as we'll find, "full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business." You see, folks, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to keep a divine appointments. You're going to miss divine appointments, because one of the things we're going to find out is divine appointments are orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God. "He was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will keep ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Ghost." And there's the second man in that list, Philip. So Philip, number one, was a faithful disciple, but also Philip was chosen as a dedicated servant. Here was a man that was willing to do what some might look down their nose and say are the menial tasks in the church. He had a servant's heart. He just said to the apostles, "Where can I be a blessing?" He said to the apostles, "Where can I ease your burden?" He said to the apostles, "You know what? Just give me something to do. I'll run an errand for you. I'll see after this widow's needs for you. I'll take care of this for you. You folks, apostles, give yourself to prayer and give yourself to the ministry of the word, and I will take on the responsibility of this business of helping the widows in the church." So he was a faithful servant. Also then, we see in Acts chapter number 8, the part of the chapter that we did not read, the first part of the chapter, that also Philip was an evangelist. And he went into evangelism at some point. God, I think, saw his faithfulness as a disciple, saw his willingness to be a servant, and then next thing you know, he's out preaching the gospel in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse number 1 through 8, we see that there is a great revival that happens as a result of Philip and other disciples there that are preaching in this matter, in this area of Samaria. Verse number 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." So God is using Philip in a remarkable way. Verses 9 through 25, we see the confrontation between him and Simon the sorcerer. And then we pick up in the middle of this great revival in Samaria, we see an interruption in verse number 26 as the Spirit of God separates Philip from an ongoing revival and sends him on a single mission. A divine appointment, if you'll let me say that, to reach and win one man to Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? I think that scenario still must play out. I think, first of all, we must begin at where we ought to begin, and that's just deciding that we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And in the process of being a disciple, we've got to be willing to be a servant to Jesus Christ. And in this matter of evangelism, we need to get involved and go out and try to win people to Jesus Christ. And then I think when God proves us in those three areas and finds out that we're trustworthy, then every once in a while, God can send us on a special covert mission. He can say, "You're one of the Green Beret units. I can trust you. I know that you've given yourself fully to me. I know that you have a servant's heart. I know you have an obedient heart. I know you've got a burden for souls. And guess what? From time to time, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, and I'm going to send you to a certain spot. And I'm going to just tell you to go there, and I'm going to send you there for a reason, because there are, folks, some divine appointments that happen, I believe, every single day, and many times every day in Christianity. Now, Brother Jerry, please, enough of this. Please tell us, explain to us, define for us what is a divine appointment. All right? I will. A divine appointment occurs. Get this. A divine appointment occurs when a Spirit-filled Christian is specifically directed by the Holy Ghost to a specific place to meet a specific person for the purpose of accomplishing a specific task. Boy, let me say that again. A divine appointment occurs when a Spirit-filled Christian is specifically directed by the Holy Spirit to a specific place to meet a specific person for the purpose of accomplishing a specific task. Oh, my goodness sakes, this must be something that only happens to preachers and evangelists and missionaries. No, I believe that this is something that God wants to involve every single born-again Christian in. You see, I believe this with all my heart, and this is what motivates me. This is what gets me up. This is what keeps me excited. You see, it can happen at any time. It could be any day. I mean, I never know when I get up in the morning and get ready and get cleaned up and get dressed and walk out the door, if this might be the day that God's going to use me in this matter of accomplishing a divine appointment for Him. I look back and I see Tim and Angie Sagers, she's sitting back there. And let me say this, Sister Angie, God had you ready for a divine appointment on a certain day at a certain time, and if it wasn't for that divine appointment, you and your husband wouldn't be sitting here today. Say, what in the world are you talking about, Brother Jerry? Well, some of you don't know the story, but Brother Tom Daffron was, I think, coming home from work, were you? Coming back from Vincennes, and he came upon a young lady that was having car trouble. Her vehicle just stopped. It just absolutely stopped, and she couldn't get it going. So Brother Tom, somewhat of a mechanic, pulls in behind her and a gentleman and says, is there any way I can help you out? And got that thing going and followed her home. Did you follow her home or not? I really need you to come up and tell this story right now, since her dad came and got her. And then before you left, though, you did make an appointment sometime to go by and see her and her husband and talk to him about the Lord. Thank you very much. I got one thing right. All right. It wasn't but a few days later that Brother Tom came over and talked to Tim and Angie and led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they listen, folks, you say, how did that car happen to break down on that stretch of road? And how in the world did Brother Tom Daffron just happen to be coming from Vincennes at that particular day, at that particular minute? Let me tell you something. What happened there is called a divine appointment. A divine appointment. You see, folks, I think that most every day of our life, God wants us to hook up with somebody. Now, the results may not be that forthcoming. It may not even be that evident. You know, I was talking to Brother Howe, and we were talking about his testimony when he typed it up for our veterans page. And he goes back in his testimony and talks about several encounters that he had with born-again Christians prior to him receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior. And something that they said or some impact that they made. How many of you are thinking back and remembering this type of thing in your life? Come on now. I mean, there's several times before you actually got saved, somebody came by or somebody you sat beside on a park bench or you happened to ride beside on a bus or you have to be across from a restaurant or somebody reached over and gave you a track at the gas station. Now listen to me. What I'm saying is there's all kinds of things that happen, and God is in the business of trying to orchestrate Christians who will listen to Him to get to sinners who He's preparing to get saved. And folks, listen to me. That's called divine appointments. Isn't that exciting? I mean, what an awesome thing to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's exactly what happened in what we read here. Philip was led by the Spirit of God from an ongoing revival out in the middle of the desert. He was just given this command, arise and go towards the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And that's all that he was given. Get up and go. Go. Why, Lord? Well, if you obey, I'll explain why. If you don't, then you miss out. But somebody out there is sitting in a chariot and they're reading the Bible and they can't understand what they're reading and they need a soul winner to sit down beside them and tell them about Jesus. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me, folks. We can't get so caught up in our own little lives that we forget that all around us is lost sinners. All around us are people that God's trying to help orchestrate this divine, glorious collision with. I mean, listen, God pricks your heart about reaching in your pocket and pulling out a gospel tract and going to the, over to the next gas station pump and handing it to somebody. You ought to do it. You don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know at what point they are. You don't know if they just lost a loved one. You have no idea what's going on. And we don't have to know what's going on. We don't have to know the whys. God doesn't have to give us the whole big picture. All we need to do is just be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, obedient Christians. You see, I think that many, many of you are going to find out that you had a part in seeing somebody saved that you just had maybe 2 or 3 or 4 minutes contact with and never saw them again in your life. We've got to be ready, folks. We've got to be willing to be used by God. Now, listen, as you say, Brother Jerry, that sounds exciting. How can I get involved in this? Well, first of all, you have to be saved. You see, you can't be directed by the Holy Spirit of God until you are saved, and the Holy Spirit of God then comes in and indwells you. Next of all, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not a charismatic church, and I don't have a charismatic born in my body. But I'm a little tired of the charismatic stealing the fullness of the Spirit. It's a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. And we need to go back and revisit it. What does that mean, Brother Jerry? Well, that doesn't mean that you get the Holy Spirit for the first time or you get more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's not a gas or a liquid that you get more or less of. He's a person. And He indwells every born-again believer. But listen to me, you have to decide whether or not He's just going to be the resident or the president. You got to decide whether or not He's just going to indwell you or whether He's going to control you. You see, we have to be willing to empty ourselves of self and sin and allow the Spirit of God to fill us. And that way, when He whispers, all He's going to do is just whisper. And we will be able to know what He's trying to tell us. So you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see, that still small voice that we read about in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah heard that still small voice. I call it the SSV, the still small voice. You know, the Holy Spirit constantly throughout the day is trying to direct us and teach us and show us and motivate us and tell us what to do and where to go and who to talk to. And I think, folks, we just plow through life and we've so grieved in this generation the Holy Spirit of God and sometimes even quenched the Holy Spirit of God in our lives that He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to use us. But folks, listen to me. We're not going to be able to hear the Holy Spirit of God and do what He says if we're not sensitive to Him. Let me just share this with you, folks. There's nobody that takes account. I don't feel like a sermon's a success or a failure by how many people come to an altar. But can I say this to you, born-again Christians? If you can't standing up in a church amongst Christians, if you can't obey the Holy Spirit when He tells you to come to an altar, you're not going to obey the Holy Spirit when you're out there at the gas station. At some point, we've got to start letting the Holy Spirit dictate what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go. When He convicts us of sin, we ought to say, "Yes, sir, Holy Spirit, thank You for doing that. We ought to go get things right." And because if we aren't responsive to Him in this area of conviction, we're not going to be responsive to Him in this area of direction. And so we want the Holy Spirit of God. I want Him to speak to me. I want Him to put His finger on things when He needs to put the finger on things. I want Him to convict me when I need to be convicted. You know why? Because I want to keep a good fellowship with Him because I like divine appointments. I want to be used of God. And so I'm not going to frustrate the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit in my life in a church service and expect Him to go out and direct me to do the miraculous when I'm outside of the church. You see, you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You must be willing to obey the Holy Spirit. I love this. Verse number 27, it says after verse 26's instruction, arise and go, it says He arose and went. Boy, isn't that simple? What's so hard about that? And then the Bible says in verse number 29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to Him. Simple obedience. The Holy Spirit says, do this, you just do it. Do that, you do it. Hand that person a tract, you hand them a tract. Go by and see this person in a nursing home. They've been on your heart, on your mind. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit wants you to go by and see him. Somebody you haven't seen, maybe you don't have access to. Maybe they live in a different part of the country, but they keep coming to your mind. Pick the phone up. The Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention. Pick the phone up. Give them a call. Talk to them. There's a reason that the Holy Spirit brings people to your mind. He's trying to impress us. We need to be sensitive and then be willing to obey. Now, what about this matter of divine appointments? Let me just give you some examples of divine appointments, all right? First of all, I think God has for every Christian divine appointments to meet lost sinners. Divine appointments to meet lost sinners. Dr. John R. Rice, and you ought to read Brother Rice's books. We should not let Brother Rice's books just collect dust and be lost to this generation. I really mean that. If you haven't read a book written by John R. Rice in a while, you ought to just call the sword of the Lord. Say, send me a John R. Rice book. Which one? I don't care. Just send me a half dozen. I'll read them. But one of the things that he talked about, and I believe with all my heart, is I believe there are certain people that I'm supposed to win to Christ. And I think there's certain people that I'm the only one that can win them to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just saying that I think God has laid upon me the responsibility of winning some people to Christ. And I can't just shirk this responsibility. Oh, well, if I don't do it, Pastor Ross will do it, or Brother Bo will do it, or Dave Liffick will do it, or somebody else will take care of it. God will send somebody if I decide to be disobedient. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If God pricks your heart about and burdens your heart over somebody that's lost, He's probably doing that because you're the one that's supposed to go give them the gospel. I don't mean this wrong, and if you're a new convert, I understand. But I'm going to tell you, folks, listen to me. Church, don't misinterpret this, and don't take this wrong. But if you're a veteran Christian, you've been saved a while, don't come up to your preacher and give me a name of somebody that you're burdened about to see saved. Listen, if God's given you the burden, then He will probably energize your witness to that person a lot better than He will mine. Well, I can't talk to this person. Now, I'll hogwash. Yes, you can. Eternity's at stake. We have to break out of our shell sometime. We have to look at them and say the hard thing. We have to look with tears in our eyes and say, listen to me, listen to me. You've been on my heart. I stay awake at nights over this thing. Just give me a few minutes. I'm burdened about your soul. Now, Brother Jerry, they'll just get mad. I don't think so. I think the Holy Spirit takes something like that, and even if they seem to get mad at the time, you're not there later when they're by themselves. You're not there that night when they're laying awake thinking about the tears in your eyes and the concern, the compassion in your voice. Listen, folks, just do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. You don't have any idea what kind of impact it might have. See, there was years ago, folks, when my mom and dad was faced with a choice. And dad looked for a job, and like some of you have gone through, it's amazing how this happens. When he was looking for a job and got called at Andicon Aluminum Company, there was also another company in Indianapolis that also called him. And here we were. And he had to decide which job he was going to take. And you know what? He says, I took this job for these reasons, but I'm telling you, it was the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, it was the Spirit of God directing him towards Terre Haute, Indiana, because he knew that he would find a place. By the way, he had a guy put a place for sale at a time that needed to be put up for sale. You think of how much work God goes through to get this divine appointment set up. So at a certain time, this man decides to put his place for sale. At the same time, my dad has two job offers, but decides to take the one in Terre Haute, and then goes house hunting over in the Brazil area, and then just happens to buy this place. And it just happened across the street, there's a family that are Christians, and that just happened to believe in something called a divine appointment. Just happened to think that when somebody moves in the neighborhood, you know what, maybe they got moved there for a reason. Let me encourage you folks, listen to me. My wife's great about this. I'm terrible about it. She's great about it. She keeps an eye on this stuff. I can't tell you how many times in the years since we moved in our neighborhood in 1994 that when we see a new neighbor move in anywhere near us, she'll bake some cookies and we'll take some gospel tracts with it and we'll go welcome to the neighborhood. You say, why do you care? Because somebody else cared. Because somebody else cared. Why do you live where you do? Why do you work where you work? I'm sorry, but a Christian doesn't believe in happenstance. A born-again Christian don't believe in coincidences. I mean, if you begin to understand this thing about divine appointments, you are where you are, you live where you do. I mean, you work where you do. You stop at the gas station. Everything. God is trying to orchestrate something. Listen, in the humdrum details of life, we're just trying to get through our to-do list for the day. There's people around us, and God's trying to orchestrate some divine appointments. God wants you to meet lost sinners. The Purcells came across the road and began to witness and invite us to the family. Let me tell you, say this, make a long story short, the rest is history. And a man was converted in that church because somebody believed in a divine appointment. And this church is here because somebody in Brazil, Indiana, believed in a divine appointment. You don't know who lives across the street from you. You don't know where their children could be one day. You could go across the street and begin to visit and work with somebody. In 20 years, one of their children could be on the mission field. I mean, this is what motivates me. This is what excites me. It just seems like God's not doing anything. He's trying. You know how much trouble he goes to just to put a lost person and a saved person in the same circle together? And then we're counting the ceiling tile or worried about our tummy ache or mad about something happening at church and walk right by a lost person and don't even pay attention and miss the opportunity? I mean, we need to be spirit sensitive, folks. We need to be looking around and realizing that God up in heaven's got this whole thing going, and he's saved Jerry Ross for a reason, and he's saved you for a reason, and he's directing you through your life and bringing you in constant contact with individuals. And you know what? Just because you talk to one and they're not glorious saved don't mean that you were not used as part of the process of bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'll let the Lord worry about that. When we get to heaven, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You ever have a divine appointment like that? You ever have a divine appointment? Sometimes you see the results, sometimes you don't. I remember there was a time when the Lord burdened my heart so badly about a little street in Linton. I mean, a whole week I couldn't get one street off my heart. The Lord wouldn't leave me alone about it. So I went to that street, got out of my car, and knocked on every door and passed out tracts and talked to everybody that was home and got back in my car, and nobody was saved. And I don't know if there's anybody in the ministry. And he said, "Brother Jerry, that's not a very exciting story." Well, all I know is God wanted me to do it, and I did it. I think when we get to heaven one of these days, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I was impressed to do it. I think we get to heaven one of these days, God's going to say, "Let me show you why I had you do that. See this house right here? Later on, this guy came home, and this is the process I was taking him through, and I needed someone to leave something right there on that." You know, folks, we don't need to know why. Sometimes it happens that way. Other times, I'll tell you, when I tell the story, because I love the fact I can look back in my life, and every Christian ought to be able to do this. Not because we're anything, but because God's everything. But you ought to be able to look back in your life and see places and times where you know God directed you and allowed you to make an impact on somebody's life. I remember when I was in college, and I had a bus route. And you know what? I went through the one of those same things. I was praying over my bus route. God kept directing me to one block all week long, burdened about going and visiting this little street on this one block that I had. I mean, he just wouldn't let me get away from it. I got in my car Saturday morning with my bus worker. We drove up to the route, parked the car. He said, "We're going to hit the regulars." I said, "Not yet. We got to go over here to this street." "Why?" "I don't know. We just got it. We just have to." So we went over there and we looked at that half block, and I'm looking there, and Danny pulls standing beside me. He said, "Where are we going?" I said, "Somewhere here." He said, "Why?" I said, I don't know. Now, you can call it weird. You can call it whatever you want to. But I'm just telling you, if God keeps bothering you about something, you better go do something about it. And I said, "I think we're going to go right there." And I pointed right to an apartment building, went over there and knocked on the first house and signed up a family to ride the bus. And those girls came, and their brother got saved. One of those girls eventually ended up at Howes Anderson Bible College. Now, there's one time in Lenten I still don't know why God directed me there. There's another time where I got to see why he directed me there. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing special about Jerry Ross. Same Holy Spirit's living in me is living in you. Same Jesus that saved me saved you. Same God that loves souls and wants to use me wants to use you. He wants to use us all. So what I've got to do is be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in my life. So he may have you wanting to meet some lost sinners. Number two, he may want you to send you in a divine appointment to influence some growing new convert. To influence some growing new convert. I think that this is very important. Would you listen to me? I think back in the course of my years as I was growing and developing as a young person, how God would bring from time to time certain people into my life that would make a huge impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have those memories? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. I have certain Sunday school teachers. And it doesn't mean that all my Sunday school teachers weren't wonderful Sunday school teachers, but there's a couple of them whose name I could call this morning that God, I believe, had that teacher in that class that I needed at that age time and made a huge impact on my Christian life. I think about Brother Jack and Sister Penny and when I got into the youth group. And by the way, it's not just my testimony. There was something unusual that happened during the middle 70s there. And there was a group of young people here, and all of us were pretty much knuckleheads. I'll just tell you that. But we had a pastor put the Gordons in charge of the youth group. And I can tell you, from our little youth group, for whatever reason, God took a lot of people, and some of them are still sitting in this room right here today, serving God full time, and others are off somewhere serving God. And you know what? I think that they were brought into my life for such a time as this. And you know what? That's exciting. Listen, well, he wants me to take the third and fourth grade class. He wants to take me to fifth. He wants me to help in master's class. Folks, it's just, it's people. You get to touch lives. You know, that little girl that's kind of off by herself and everybody else kind of runs around and she seems like she's in her own little world. You know what she needs? She needs somebody that realizes that she could be a divine appointment. You know, that little fringe teenage girl that comes in and out, and you know what? She doesn't seem to have her act together, but you know what? She still keeps coming. Well, there's got to be a reason she's coming. Isn't there a lady in here who's God will speak to your heart and say, you know what? Why don't you just make a difference in her life? Why don't you take her under your wing? Why don't you love her? Why don't you go find out where she lives? Why don't you take her shopping? Why don't you do some things with her? You could be that person that she looks back in 20 years and says, you know what? Without so-and-so taking an interest in me, Lord knows where I'd be. I just believe in divine appointments. I think God motivates and moves certain people to influence and intersect with Christians at certain times. I'm glad that there were certain men of God that were willing to go preach revival meetings. I'm glad there were men of God that when I went to youth conferences as a teenager and I'd show up there, maybe my mind was a million miles away and not really the last thing on my mind was anything spiritual. But let me tell you something. God had me in His crosshairs. And He brought some spirit-filled preacher that, by the way, could have been taking a week off at home. Probably had a lot to do at home. But you know what? He interrupted his schedule, came in, invested time preaching to teenagers, and God had me in His crosshairs and changed my life in a preaching service. Hey, there's a divine appointment that happens. That'll make coming to church exciting for you. Say, I already know what's going to happen in this service, tonight's service, Wednesday service, Sunday service, the next week. I know exactly what. No, you don't. You don't have any idea what's going to happen. You don't have any idea what's going to happen. You know what? You don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to might bushwhack you. Young person, you may be a million miles away today, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit and the invitation grit a hold of your heart and say, you know what, I need you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you have one of those divine appointments. I just think it's fun. Brother Jerry, why show up here on Saturday and knock on doors because God's got some divine appointments waiting for me out there? Why go bus calling week in and week out? I'll tell you why, because God has some divine appointments waiting out there. I mean, good night, I could come in here on Wednesdays and sit down and plop in a pew. I'm tired, or you want me to go work in Matt? There's some divine appointments waiting. And I just think it's an exciting thing. This is one of those things, folks, that are motivational. I think God lets us know this is happening because it keeps us on our toes and keeps us right with God and hopefully keeps us sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our life. Let me finish by saying this. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you a verse. There's some divine appointments, Christians, that God, I think, wants us to keep. I think there's some lost souls that God wants you and me to make an impact on and to win for the Lord Jesus Christ. I also believe that there are some Christians that we have a chance to influence, some young people that we got whose life we can touch and influence and make a difference in. And I'll tell you what, if you'll do that, you'll be happy doing it. Now, folks, I want you to listen. I'm not an example of anything, but I'm going to tell you this. I have a lot of fun about every 3 months, 4 months, when a little Mexican girl from Chicago calls me on the phone. And her husband's on the mission field. And she says at the end of every single time she's ever been on the phone with me, Brother Jerry, let me tell you something. And she'll get all weepy. Brother Jerry, let me tell you something. You know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't even be in God's work if it wasn't for you and Sister Cheryl and the impact. You don't think that's fun? You don't think that's fun? And I could have went to Bible college and decided to be in the ping pong ministry or the rec room ministry or the Liberty Square ministry. Just like you can come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and be in the pew bump ministry. I mean, you just got to decide whether you're going to roll your sleeves up and try to make an impact on somebody. You say, well, Brother Jerry, if you didn't reach her and impact her at that crucial time in her life, somebody else would have. I don't think so. Well, you must think pretty highly of yourself. No, I think pretty highly of God. And I think God knows what He's doing. And I think God prepares people to impact people. I think there's sometimes, listen, there's people I can't make a connection to, but you could. There's people that won't give me a hearing, but you could win them to Christ. There's people, I know this is going to shock you, that don't like me, but they like you. Isn't that shocking? I'm just telling you, there's opportunities out there. And God will direct you to them. Now let me just give you this, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. We talked about divine appointments to meet the lost, divine appointments to help influence growing saints of God. Hebrews 9:27. You may not keep any of your divine appointments on earth, but there's one appointment we all will keep. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, folks, whether or not we listen to God on this earth, pay attention to God, whether or not we ever embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, we walk by divine appointments as a lost person. I mean, let me just say this. You're not here this morning by accident. Well, Jerry, it's Sunday morning. I'm tired. Why in the world you get up there bouncing around hollering? I'll tell you why. Because I think God wants to do something this morning. I don't know who's here and I don't know what's in your heart, but I don't think God put this message on my heart on this day with you sitting right there without God wanting to do something exciting with it. There may be somebody here that's lost. You know what? For all of your life and all of my life, God has been preparing this moment. God somehow got you into the doors of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Maybe you know why you're here, or thought you know why you're here. Maybe you don't have the faintest idea why you're here, but all of a sudden now you're starting to realize why you're here. You know why? Because you need to be saved. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He brought you to this point in time so that you could hear a Bible preacher say, Jesus loves sinners. Jesus loves you. Jesus will forgive you of your sins. Jesus will save your soul. He wants to save you. Today you can be born again. You see, isn't that exciting? But you may walk right past that divine appointment. You may ignore the gospel, but there's one appointment you're going to keep, and I'm going to keep it too. It's appointed. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You can dive and dodge every appointment that God tries to set up for you in this life, but you're not going to dodge that one. You're not going to be late. You're going to be right on time. And one day, me and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what? As a person, as a human being, I want to stand there as a born-again Christian. I don't want to stand at the white throne judgment. I want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I want to stand at the judgment seat for Christians, not for lost people. I want to be saved when I stand before God. But can I share this with you also, Christian? I don't want to stand there and have God review my life and sit there and go, look at that. Look at all of those opportunities that I walked right by. I could have impacted that person. That person could have been a missionary. That person could have won this person the Lord, which would have won this person the Lord. That, look, I could have influenced that person, but you know what? I was too busy. I was too self-absorbed. I didn't realize the people walking all around me. Look at this. Look at that teenager that came in, and we had a shot. We had him for 6-7 weeks in a row, but nobody took advantage of the opportunity, and he went back out. He ended up a drunkard. He ended up ruining his life and ruining other people's life. I mean, I think once we get to heaven, folks, all of us are going to weep when we realized the opportunities that was right in our hands and we walked by Him. But I don't know about you, but I want to this morning dedicate myself anew to this idea of going out and listening to God. And you know what? I don't care if any human being understands it or not. If God tells me to go talk to somebody or go visit somebody, it doesn't even happen to make sense to me. All I need to do is just be obedient. Go try to influence somebody who's lost to be saved. Try to go influence some growing Christian. By the way, if you're going to influence them right. Influence them towards God. Encourage them towards the Savior. And you know what? When we get to the end of our lives, I think it's going to be a good thing to look back and say, you know what? God, let me be used by Him.